I invite you to hear these words from Luke chapter 10, verses 1 through 11. You can find them in your pew Bible on page 71 in the New Testament. After this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go. He said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go on your way. See, I am sending you out like lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this house.' And if anyone is there who shares in peace, your peace will rest on that person. But if not, it will return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the laborers deserve to be paid. Do not move about from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick who are there and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, go out into the streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off and protest against you. Yet know this, the kingdom of God has come near.'" This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. So in October, when we have a couple of things happening out in this end of the patch, the witness committee shared pumpkins with our businesses. When we reached 75 pumpkins, we were amazed at how many businesses were surrounding us and how many we still didn't share. And it got us wondering, who is our neighbor? Through conversation, Pastor Sally and I found it helpful to restrict our neighborhood to a select area so to focus our attention. With the help of Google Maps, that area is on front of your bulletin. I invite you to take a look at that. No, I don't have a drone. This is completely from Google Maps. This is our neighborhood. At the bottom left is Greer Middle School. At the top right, kind of in the middle, is Eastridge Mall. If you look at the word neighbor, the G and the H is the intersection of Garrison and New Hope, and you can follow New Hope north. And just outside the upper left side of this picture is where violence erupted in our community last night. This is our neighborhood. Can you find Myers Memorial? Did you know this is what our neighborhood looked like? When we began gathering to pray and walk the neighborhood in April, and then gathering for meals in May, and when we selected May 19th as our day of service, it was all with the intention of loving and discovering and serving our neighbors. And so, like Jesus who sent out his disciples, we went out in groups of 2, 3, 4, 10, 20, 30 to discover who we would meet. Our church is not situated in a neighborhood like we picture when hearing that word. There are not really tree-lined streets with slow speed limits and friendly competitions for yard of the month. Most of us don't even live here. And yet we exist in close proximity with others. And we are neighbors. Myers Memorial United Methodist Church exists in a commercial area surrounded by Monday through Friday businesses, 9 to 5. We're surrounded by some of the more popular restaurants in town. Free Pie Wednesday at O'Charlie's. In this neighborhood, we come to have our hair done, our teeth cleaned, our braces adjusted. We visit the jewelry store, the clothing store, the bank, the social security office, car repair shops, and the gym. Our neighborhood is where we come to take care of business. The Wesley Study Bible points out that according to John Wesley, our neighbor is anyone who needs our help, not just the person already in our group. Wesleyans believe that God has bound together all people, no matter how different, by creating each of us in God's image. God has already made us all neighbors, so we can expand our hearts to care for neighbors down the street and around the world. It's been amazing to listen to the stories over these past several weeks, to hear the surprise in our voices as our favorite restaurant is in view of our church, or to discover that there are homes in our neighborhood. This last few weeks, we have walked and talked. We have prayed that we might be received by the neighbors around our church building. Well, we received some crazy looks. A few questions like, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? Why would you do this? Because why would we do this? Because the love of God compels us to love as we are loved by the God who created each of us. And so a few months ago when we asked the question, who are our neighbors? We had a pretty decent guess. Yet today I invite you to hear from some of the neighbors we have encountered in the last few weeks. And as these neighbors come forward, I invite you to hear this quote from St. Teresa. Neighbors, please come forward. Christ has no body on earth but yours, no hands but yours, no feet but yours. Yours are the eyes through which the compassion of Christ looks out to the world. Yours are the feet with which he has to go about doing good. Yours are the hands with which he is to bless others now.
Typically, I enjoy Wednesdays because the office is closed at 5 o'clock and other occupants leave. I am able to catch up on paperwork before I meet my wife at church at 6:30. Lately, I've been so distracted by her cancer diagnosis that I can barely focus on simple things, so that quiet time in the office is necessary. I admit I was annoyed the other day when I caught a glance of several people outside of the main door just before I was leaving. I just wanted to get to the car and get to church. I didn't have time, or more truthfully, the energy for dealing with people today wasn't easy. I couldn't hide in the office forever, so I went out, and there were four ladies wandering the parking lot. They didn't look like they needed help, and they didn't see a car. I didn't see a car either, and I couldn't avoid them. But with smiles on their faces, they waved and came near. They introduced themselves as members of the church just across the street and said they were out praying for the neighborhood. I mentioned I knew some folks there, and we learned we had friends in common. I was excusing myself to leave when they asked if I had anything on my heart that they could pray about. And I responded, my wife. And I'm never ashamed to ask for prayers for her healing. The younger woman said, is your wife Katie? And I responded, yes, how did you know? And she said that Sunday school class had been praying for her. And isn't it wonderful that God connects us with amazing people? And then I was even so bold to ask for prayer for me, because it's hard to see her sick. The ladies prayed and my spirit soared. I couldn't wait to get to church to tell my wife about the prayer meeting that we had in the parking lot. I work in the office up the street, and I am your neighbor.
Life is so hectic. Life is so hard and not what I want it to be. My life is a mess. My wife and I recently separated, and our marriage is falling apart. It was my weekend to have our son, and all I wanted to do was play ball with him in the backyard or go to the park or play anything he wanted to play, but instead I was having car problems. I needed a new battery. So I got a jump start, loaded my son in the car, and we went off to Advanced Auto Parts. After getting the battery and walking out of the store, I saw a man standing there. He approached me and offered me an air freshener. That seems kind of strange, I thought. But if someone offers you a gift, you take it, right? I said thank you. And then he continued to tell me that he was from the church next door. And he was in the community just to let people know that the church cared. I really didn't know how to respond. Someone I don't even know cares about me? And then something even stranger happened. I felt I could and needed to tell him about my problems. I shared my problems with the stranger from the church. I asked him to pray for me, for my wife, and for my son. And he did pray for me right there. He prayed for me right there in front of Advanced Auto Parts. For the first time in months, I was able to catch my breath. I actually felt like I had hope. My name is Jeremy, and I am your neighbor.
I have to admit, when I looked up to see a large group meeting, I was filled with dread. It was my first night at this restaurant, and I had just tied my apron on. I prepared for a quiet Wednesday night. This group seemed to know one another, and I overheard they were all from the same church. The line just continued to grow. Each person placing their order was so kind, as I slowly wrote down exactly what they wanted as to not get it wrong. They were patient with me, as I had to keep asking the kitchen if they could modify the menu. So many questions, and yet I learned a lot on this first night. This group seemed to have fun together, just waiting in line. I was anxious to get their orders so they could sit and eat, as I know how hangry people can get sometimes. Yet they had a good time just waiting. I watched them pull tables together and keep adding seats. We finally got all their food to them, and they received each platter with such thankfulness. My manager said we never have this many people on a Wednesday night. I guessed they were traveling through town. As the group finished, a young child brought me a card at the counter. It was a thank you card full of signatures. They were thanking the restaurant for being their neighbors. They weren't from out of town. They were from the church up the street. I knew the name of the church. I took my brother once for an NA meeting. It was a tough first night at the new job, but having that crowd of folks come through made it all better. I served your meal, and I am your neighbor.
I hate laundry day. Not for the burden of having to wash the clothes, but because I have to spend the day in that little room at the laundromat to get all done, and I have to leave my ailing wife at home alone. Last Saturday afternoon, I made sure she was comfortable on the sofa before I loaded up the clothes and the last of the detergent into the car. I've taken on extra shifts at the factory to help cover medical bills, all the bills. I'll do anything to help make her better again. As I was unloading the laundry out of my car in the parking lot at the laundromat, I knocked over the box of detergent that I had left, and it spilled onto the pavement. I hoped no one heard my words as I scooped up a small bit to use for her laundry. Mine could just get smelly again at work, and I wasn't paying that cost for the detergent at the laundromat. As I loaded two washers with our laundry, a woman approached me and offered me a box of laundry detergent. Had she seen what had happened in the parking lot? I was about to reject her charity because I don't like taking handouts, and I didn't want her to hear the spiel that was sure to follow. Yet the kindness in her eyes seemed genuine, and I stammered a thank you before she turned away and was gone. I looked at the box, 10 loads worth, and it smelled so clean and fresh. Was I actually looking forward to doing laundry now? I think so. As I was shaking the detergent into the washer, I noticed a sticker from your neighbors at Myers Memorial UMC. Where is that? I don't remember seeing a church in this neighborhood. On the way home, I purposefully drove out of my way to find this church at the address that was said it was on New Hope Road. I knew that place. My wife used to love buying our Halloween pumpkin from there when the kids were small. I do my laundry at Franklin Laundry, and I am your neighbor.
I work behind the glass 5 days a week, and I always try to have a smile on my face. I know all the patients by name, and I know some of their family members as well. The dialysis clinic is a lifeline for so many. I can only imagine how difficult it must be to live your life on dialysis. So as the office manager, I want to be welcoming and compassionate. One evening about 6 p.m., three strangers walked in. I didn't recognize them as patients or family members. I wondered, what do they want? When they knocked on the glass, I was ready to give my speech on how we can't help you unless you're sent here by a doctor, and we don't have any money to give you for food. I even had the piece of paper with all the Gaston County helping agencies in my hand, and I was ready to give it to them and send them on their way. Instead, I received a blessing. What a surprise. They were from a nearby church. They were doing a prayer walk and wanted me to know that they had prayed for our clinic, for the staff, the patients, and the families. Tears filled my eyes, and I felt guilty. I had assumed they wanted something from me, but all they wanted to do was to bless me and our clinic. They gave me a card, and I cried some more, and I thanked them for their visit. The next day, I drove by that church as I headed to work. I had never paid attention to that church before. It was just another place that I drove by. But now, I noticed that church because they noticed me. I am glad they're close by. I work at the Fresenius Kidney Care on Burton Wood, and I am your neighbor.
I hate waiting. Sometimes it feels like all we do is wait. You see, we had just spent all afternoon at some building called the Social Security Administration. Our dad had died earlier this year, and our mom is still trying to sort through stuff. We aren't old enough to stay alone, so we have to go with her and wait. We try to be quiet, but it's so hard to be a kid in a building full of grown-ups doing things we don't understand. When we left the building, it was pouring down the rain as we ran across the parking lot to the nearby bus stop. Although we were hungry, we tried not to complain because our mom was rather grumpy. We were all grumpy, tired, and now what? That is when I noticed a little card stuck in the window of the bus stop. I looked closer and the card said, "You were prayed for today by your friends at Myers Memorial Church."
Wow, I thought, somebody prayed for me. I needed that prayer. I imagined that it was another child exactly my age that had prayed for me. Maybe they had a nice house, a mom, and a dad. and they never had to wait at a bus stop, and still, they prayed for me. The bus pulled up, the door opened, we followed Mom onto the bus. As I stepped up, I heard chimes playing, and I knew I was going to be okay. Our family waits at the bus stop on Cotton Blossom, and we are your neighbors.
Friends, we've taken this time to meet our neighbors. I invite you to give our neighbors a round of applause. Thank you, neighbors, for sharing your stories. Friends, a few months ago, these neighbors were simply strangers to us. And these are the stories that we've collected over the last 2 months, these stories and others like them. Pastor Sarah and I took a little bit of liberty to add to the story things from other places and other times that we heard. So the stories are not told exactly as they happened. And yet we tried to imagine. We tried to imagine the life of our neighbors that we met in our community. Sarah read to you earlier from the book of Luke, the 10th chapter, the 70 being sent out. We as a church have been sent out. We don't exist to stay in. We don't exist to stay in the beauty of this sanctuary, the coolness or the warmness in the wintertime of this building. We exist for the community that exists outside of our church. Remember, as United Methodist, our mission is to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. In order to make disciples of Jesus Christ, we must not stay where we are. We are called to go and to go out. Just as Jesus sent the 70 out, so we are being sent out. Out into New Hope Road, onto Cotton Blossom, onto Burtonwood, into the parking lots, inside to the restaurants, and into what we call our neighborhood to engage with our neighbors. I invite you to hear a verse that comes a bit after the verses Sarah read. It's from Luke chapter 10, and it's verse 23. It says this, Jesus turned to his disciples, and he said to them, "Blessed are the eyes that see what you see. Blessed are the eyes that see what you see." Jesus is talking to his disciples and is telling them, you are so blessed because you're eyewitnesses to what I am doing in the world, says Jesus. Disciples, you've gotten to see everything that I've done. You've gotten to see as I've encountered the sinner and told them to go and sin no more. You watched me as I encountered a woman who was hurting, and I offered her healing. Not because of what she'd done, but because of who she is. You watched as I told you to let the little children come to me. You tried to tell me they weren't important, and you watched as I said they are absolutely important. So Jesus is saying to his disciples, blessed are you because you get to see what I see. And friends, over 2,000 years later, the same is said for us. Blessed are our eyes when we have the opportunity to see what God sees. Blessed are our eyes when we see who God sees. When we see our neighbors and we talk to them, and we hear their hurt. Remember in several of the stories, we heard how family members of that particular neighbor were struggling with some sort of a health crisis. So when we engage with our neighbors, we hear their hurts. We hear their pain. We learn their fears. Their fears, perhaps, of that somebody might actually notice them. The man going into the auto parts store perhaps wanted to rush in and rush out. The man going into the laundromat wanted to go in and get out, hoping and praying that no one would notice. And yet, deep in our hearts, don't we all want to be noticed? Don't we all want to be accepted, valued for who we are? When we engage with our neighbors and we learn their hurts, their fears, their anxiety, and their pain, the neighbors don't just become the people out there. They become children of God. They become people that we can have a relationship with. So friends, I invite us to continue to look for our neighbors, to engage with our neighbors. We never know the blessing that we might offer them in this life. And as we've experienced, the blessings that will shower down upon us in return. So as you look at that map on the front of your bulletin today, I invite you to stick that in a safe spot at your home. Pray for this, your neighborhood. Pray for the people who spend their time in this place. Maybe you might want to change your route to church one Sunday, to drive a different way, to come a different path, and notice a neighbor on your way. Maybe you want to take more seriously what it means to support our area businesses, to eat in the restaurants that surround our church, to use the businesses that surround our church, and to remind them that we are their neighbors and they are ours. So I invite you to continue to pray, and I invite you to continue to go out. This has been a fantastic 2 months of intentionally engaging with our neighborhood. But we would be remiss if we allowed our work to stop here. There are more and more neighbors who need to hear the love of God found through a relationship with Jesus Christ. And our job, friends, is to go out, to engage our neighbors, to share love with them. Our mission is to love. May it be so for us, the people at Myers Memorial. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.